Well, hey, Harvest City. As you know, our calling is to be church planters. We are pioneers and forerunners. That's who we are, and that's God's calling on our lives. But when I think back to what it looked like when we answered that call, or when we discerned that calling on our lives, it was in the middle of a very difficult time. We've planted two churches now, and in both cases, in the season that came right before, was a very difficult season, probably in one of some of the toughest places that we'd ever been in. It was a tough season. We were in a difficult place each time. We were probably at a place where it really did feel like, look like, all indications would say that we were really the farthest away possible, so far away from the plan and purposes of God, and really in a place where we're doubting our own capabilities. Can God use us? Will God use me? Will he still use me? A season of asking a lot of questions. And so that really is a place where we, and that's sort of what it looked like when God really spoke to us and when we were positioned to answer his call.
And I think that's what God was looking for in us, that we had to come to the place where we were desperate, desperate to be walking in the call of God for our lives, no matter what it was. God was looking for our, not just our willingness, where we just kind of throw up our hands and say, whatever, God, we'll do it, but rather our willing yes. You know what? Yes, Lord, we will do what you are asking us to do. Because really, when you think of it, God is always working for our good. So whatever he asks of us, from the seemingly smallest to the seemingly greatest thing, he is doing that for our good. So if he is leading us and prompting us in a certain direction or to a certain thing, it's not only for the good of the kingdom, but it's also for our good, the good of our families and those around us. There is no other place that we've noticed that we have been more satisfied, more fulfilled than saying yes, being willing to say yes to the call of God on our lives.
And I would say, you know, a final thought, if you feel like today you're probably the farthest you've ever been to the call and plan of God for your life, you're probably closer than you think. Just continue to press in and seek him and listen for his voice, and he will lead you.
Amen.
Hello everyone, my name is Jenny Kena and I lead Global Impact alongside Janelle Ludwig, and we would just like to take a moment to say thank you so much for everyone who has come out over the celebration, to the kickoff service, the Origin Stories morning, the dessert night, and this morning. But most importantly, we just wanted to say a heartfelt thank you to everyone who has volunteered and served, because we would not have been able to do this without you. And however insignificant it may seem to just come and set some chairs up, we can't thank you enough for how that helps us to put this all together. So everyone who has served, everyone who is serving right now, we just want to say thank you so much on behalf of Janelle and I for all that you've done. We are about to watch a video, so most people will know what the faith commitment offering is, but some of you may not be sure. But this is the money that we collect that helps to support our partners. And so you're about to watch a video from all of our partners just to explain to you what your giving has done over the past year. There's so much that they've been able to do through your generosity, and so they just want to express their thanks to you as well.
Your incredible generosity has directly changed the lives of young adults for eternity.
You've helped grow NUMA from our original 15 to touching the lives of over 100 students this year.
You have helped us rent spaces for our monthly celebration services and provided weekly meals for our missional communities.
The gift that we received the past year from Harvest City Church has enabled us to complete the translation of the New Testament in the main language. We have also used the resources to do the typesetting of the New Testament and to print portions of this New Testament that are being used in churches for preaching, evangelism, and discipleship.
Partnering with you, Harvest City Friends, has made it possible to make ministry trips to Springdale, Arkansas, create a legacy website with amazing resources for Marshallese leaders and their congregations, translated and printed discipleship materials and video teachings in their language can be downloaded and used in churches in the islands as well as the U.S., resulting in grounding new believers and maturing Christians.
What we did with the global focus fund is we split it in half, and one half went towards running our youth group and also to support local young adults my age and a bit younger, and the second half went towards salaries. We helped some of our teachers in the school to continue their work and also help me as well. So thank you so much for keeping me around.
Thank you, Harvard City Church, for last year's support. In Nepal, we did church planning and leadership training. There are two pastors there, Pastor Ram, General Oversight in Nepal, and Pastor Jaya, church planning among communists, 40 churches. Combined expenses, $28,000 plus. Pastor Jaya has oversight, $7,000 last year, $2,000 church repair, $3,000 motorcycle purchase. Total expenses, $40,140. Myanmar, church planning. Pastor Jimmy, church planning among tribal peoples, 9 churches in the mountains. Expenses, $2,006. Vietnam, that's me. Church planning, church training, $1,000. Combined total, $43,740. Thank you, Harvest City Church.
Your generosity helped us support many of our ministries for their monthly provisions, provided funds for us to pay the rent of our Bible school and church buildings. The COVID relief funds helped us to distribute grocery kits to the needy, school supplies to children, funds to widows, especially the widows of 2 pastors we lost to COVID, and pay the medical bills of a few.
Harvest City, your support this year has enabled us to give our full-time attention to the ministry and the planting of Revived Church.
This has been especially important as we've been in this pandemic almost ever since our church has begun. And so, again, thank you, Harvest City Church.
Last year, you supported pastoral training in the city of Mbale, Entebbe, Kabale, and Gulu. Together, there were 800 pastors who benefited from that training. You sent relief food that enabled us to feed hundreds of vulnerable children and their families. Because of your generosity, we are able to feed pastors and their families, 700 of them, twice last year.
As part of our partnership with Harvest City Church, City Kids Regina was able to produce and air an advertising video on CTV during the summer of 2021, allowing us to reach a larger audience.
The money that you provided provides for use of the facility at Healing Hearts, our office, kitchen, storage for the bus.
The money also provides the food, which incorporates sandwiches, hot chocolate, coffee, and when we need to, when donations are running low, then we purchase gloves and coats, toques, scarves.
With your support, we were able to give mobility to 1,392 people.
And we saw 475 people commit their lives to Christ. We also trained 192 pastors on issues of disability.
Thank you for supporting us.
All right. Well, don't you feel blessed that we can support people of this kind of quality and these kind of ministries? It's a great privilege. So if you're new to the Faith Commitment Offering, what we do is every year on the Sunday of our Global Impact Celebration, we take up our offering for the whole year. What we are believing God for as individuals, we're asking the Lord, what do you want me to give, to commit to give over the course of this next year? And so we're asking you to make a commitment. Some of you will want to give your total today. Some of you, like me, like to budget it out monthly over the course of the year, and you can give however you would like. But today what we're asking for specifically is your faith commitment. Now, on the screen, I think we'll bring up a slide here, but you can go to harvestconnect.ca, or if you've got a phone, you can take it out and shoot this QR code right now. And there's an advantage. When you shoot the QR code, not only do you get taken right to this screen, but you show everybody else in the room, look at me, I'm giving to Jesus. Can you see me? So it's, you look cool while you're doing it, and we get impressed by you. Now, if you were given an envelope this morning and you like to do it old school, you can do it that way too. And so you'll notice here that we have two categories, make your pledge or my faith commitment, and then the give today. The my faith commitment is what you're believing God for over the course of the whole year. If you want to give something today, you give in the give now button. But it's really important that if you select give now and give, that you also tell us how much that you're committing God for, or to God for the year, so we know what the total is going to be. If you're giving old school, don't go online. If you're going online, don't give old school. Okay, keep them separate so we don't get those numbers confused. I think last night we were at about 150,000 had already been committed. Our goal is 250,000. That is the most ambitious goal we've, I think, had ever to raise that kind of money. And I told you last Sunday that I was going, you know, this is inflation is high and gas prices are high. Is this the time to be going for the record goal? But we really want to also support Ukraine and the work that's happening in Ukraine as a special project, along with our ministry partners. And we felt like we don't want to take anything away from the partners that we had. We're going to believe God for more so that we can also bless Ukraine. Okay? And so that's why the budget's a little higher this year. So we're asking you to give in faith and to stretch a little bit and trust God that God will provide for you as you become a blessing to others. As you saw from the video, every dollar that is spent goes directly to our partners for incredible things in all sorts of different areas. So it's a privilege to be a part of it. Okay, we are going to have the ushers come in just a couple minutes. Ushers, just allow the song to play for a minute or two before you pass the basket. We have not passed a basket in this church in over 2 years, so hopefully we're not passing COVID down the royals at the same time. We'll see how much faith that you have. But but we are going to take the basket. If you've come in the last few years, say what happens here? Well, the basket just gets passed to the neighbor beside you, and the usher will get it at the end of the row. Okay, so you can put your envelope in there. And this song, Andrew is going to sing a song for us this morning, and Natalia is going to accompany him on the violin. And this is a song that Andrew and some of our worship leaders wrote specifically along the theme of origins for this week, so I think you're going to enjoy that. Did I do it all right, Jenny? Haven't screwed up? Those of you that are online, you can participate, of course, as well. You can go to harvestconnect.ca. There might even be a link there in the chat that you can click on. So make sure you do it now. We're going to bring the total to you at the end of the service.
Story before the world began, spoke the world into existence with me inside the plan. Yes, I can. Bound and sin, your blood already paid my pardon. He saw me and called me, set me apart with a destiny. Oh, God, you're the first love. You took the first step. You are the origin. Well, we were captives in foreign lands. Was at hand to pour out. out of your spirit on all flesh. And there your church began. Your holy fire fell and set our hearts ablaze as your altar sent out into the world, calling home your sons and daughters. You saw me and called me, set me apart with a destiny. Oh, and God, you're the first thought. You took the first step. You are the origin. First love, and I am returning. You are the origin. Oh, you are the origin. Yeah. You are the right on my heart again. As I step into your story, the miracles begin. I sing all is for your glory. This is my origin. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the author and perfecter. Right on my heart again. As I step into your story, the miracles begin. I sing all is for your glory. This is my origin. God, you're the first thought, and you are my first step. You are my origin. God, you're my first love, and I am returning. You are the origin. Oh, you are my origin. You
Harvest City Church. This is K. Emmanuel, the General Director of CAPTA. CAPTA is the Cameroon Association for Bible Translation and Literacy. Just to talk about how it looked like when I first stepped into the calling. This happened 20 years ago when I just completed from university. And I looked at a series of things that had happened in my life. I lost parents. I narrowly escaped to go to school. And I was imagining the worst that would have happened if God did not grant me this opportunity to go to school. And so I decided to offer 1 year of my life to serve the Lord on campus. So I chose to volunteer with Campus Crusade for Christ.
to just be talking about Jesus on campus. And this happened for 1 year, and it was an exciting time just being on campus and talking to friends about Jesus. And interestingly, as I did the 1 year voluntary service, at the end of the service, a friend reached out to me with a phone call asking me if I was interested to serve in the Bible translation ministry. I didn't know what this was all about. I had not had any idea about what it looks like to serve in the Bible translation ministry. But I stepped out in faith, and I was sent to a remote area, to a community, where I stayed for 2.5 years, preparing the ground for the Bible to be translated in that language. And as I stayed in that community, and as I prepared the ground, I received a prophetic word from the Lord in Isaiah chapter 55, God calling me to come to Him as I test, and that I was going to buy without cost, and that I was going to attend to nations that I did not know, and that nations that did not know me were going to come to me. And one thing the Lord assured me about was that all that was going to happen for His renown. So that word stayed in my heart, and I continue to serve. And that is why today I'm reaching out to, with colleagues and friends, reaching out to several language communities in Cameroon with their word of God, with the word of God in their language, because that is the vision that is driving us now, to help communities, to help individuals to be transformed by God's word in their language. And I can tell you that I don't regret that I stepped out in faith into the calling. And my prayer is that anyone that is listening to me, that the Lord will speak to your heart so that you can step out in faith to the calling that He has given you, and that He will bless you as you move into this calling. Amen.
All right, well, I get the privilege this morning of introducing our speaker for you today. Peter Kasarivu and his wife Irene were able to come this weekend, which is awesome. It's been several years since I've seen you in person, and so great to have you back here in our church. For those of you who do not know who Peter is, my dad and I often say he's one of the top leaders that we've ever met in our travels around the world. Peter pastors Gaba Community Church in just outside of Kampala in Uganda, but Peter has a large church. In fact, this morning is going to be easy for him. He only has to preach one time instead of his normal four times on a Sunday morning, so this is just going to be a walk in the park for him. But Peter oversees, I think it's, is it over 900 churches now or 1,000? It seems like every time I meet you, it's another 100 churches that Peter oversees around Uganda. This man has literally changed his nation, brought transformation. They have programs that sponsor children, orphanages, Christian schools. The list just goes on and on and on. There's many churches, many big churches that have been birthed out of Peter's ministry. He's fantastic at raising up other leaders. The most amazing thing about Peter, though, is his humility. And when you meet him, you have no idea just what God has done through this guy, because he doesn't brag about himself. There's lots of people that are all smoke and mirrors and flash, and then when you meet them, there's not much substance. Peter's the exact opposite. When you meet him, you realize, oh my goodness, this is a man of great wisdom, a man of integrity. And so we are humbled and privileged to have you come and share the word of God with us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Harvest City.
Morning.
It's exciting for us to be here. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us to come after 3 years of lockdown. It's been very, very difficult, but we thank God that you are alive, and we thank God that we are alive. You have so many people who love you so very much in Uganda. Over the years, hundreds of people have come from this church to come and minister amongst our people. So you have lots and lots of friends. We love Pastor Joe so very much. He's one of our best evangelists for Uganda. So we thank God so very much that you always lend him to us. And actually, I think this year we have you twice. So we can't wait to have you again in Uganda. Greetings from Gaba Community Church, a church that loves you so very, very much. Greetings from our family, Irene and I. The Lord has blessed us with four children and many hundreds of other children. It's always a blessing to see what God can do. And for you as a church, you've had our appreciation for the great things that you have done, most especially during COVID. It was terrible. It was very, very, very difficult. But you responded in generosity, and you gave and gave and gave. And because of that, we have so very many people who are alive today. What a beautiful time to be here. And the amazing theme for this beautiful gathering. It's great. Origins. Very, very interesting. So thank you so very much for that. I want to say very big appreciation to Dale and Patty for taking good care of us. We have been fed and overfed and overfed. Thank you. Thank you so very much for loving us. Let me share the word of God with us today, but let me start by prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to see this amazing day. Thank you for speaking to us since this gathering began. Thank you for enabling us to hear the beautiful testimonies and stories of where you have taken all of us. Lord, it shows that you're a good God, but also you're an amazing God. So Lord, I pray that even as we share from Scripture today, that Lord, you'll again encourage us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a portion of Scripture that I'm going to read, and then after that, I will share a bit of my testimony as I also open this portion to us to really get a grasp of what God has to say to us. It's been very interesting because we call her Mama Linda. Mama Linda shared from this portion and said, "This lady's preaching my message. I don't know what I'm going to do." And then someone else also stood here and then shared on the same. But Zechariah chapter 4, if you don't mind, from verse 1. Zechariah chapter 4 from verse 1. And I'm going to read from ESV, but I also make some comments on another translation called NLT. "And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' I said, 'I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, and on the right of the bowl, and the other on its left. And I said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it.' Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. Then the seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Now verse 10 from NLT says this: "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hands. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search around all the world. Praise the Lord. This has been a very beautiful week of talking about beginnings, talking about origins. All of us have got where we came from and where God took us from. But we also have to realize that everything has an origin or a beginning. Every person has a place they call home, a place where it all began. This year, this is what we're being reminded about. Where has God taken us from? We've been talking about or sharing individual stories. But I also believe that Harvest City also has its origin. You have a story to tell. Now, Pastor Dave has been to Uganda many times and has shared the story of how he and Linda came to this place and how God used them to start out in this beautiful town, but also in this beautiful church. You have a story to tell. We also have stories to tell. And many of you have been to Gaba or you've had the stories of Gaba. We also have lots of stories to tell. The Lord God called us many, many years ago to go to this interesting little village. I call it the fishing village. When the Lord sent us there, I want to say I did not like to go. And the reason is, this is a fishing village, and the big business there at the time was smoking fish and selling it in all parts of the country. But they would smoke the fish everywhere. So wherever you were, it was smelling. And so I love to eat fish. I hate the smell of smoked fish. So I just said, Lord, I don't think this is my place. I don't think you're calling me to smelly places. This is not my place. But you know, the Lord is very interesting because after struggling with the Lord for some time and I said yes, the Lord changed the way I looked at that place. I realized that this is a place with potential. I realized that God wants to do big things out of this little fishing village. So when we look back 30 years plus, we are amazed at what God has done. We started with 15 people in a tiny little shelter of 20 by 30 feet, a place which had a roof. It was a roof of papyrus, so it never protected you from rain. It protected you from the sun. I remember the challenges that we went through, the oppression of witchcraft and the people who really did not like what we were doing. 15 people who were simple, small, who had nothing. On an average Sunday, if you got 1,000 shillings in the basket, you would thank God so very much. Now, 1,000 shillings would be equivalent to $1. If you got $1, you say, this has been a great Sunday. God is amazing. So we look back so many years later, there is 816 churches in our network. We look back these many years, there are so many schools that have been planted. We look back, we see hundreds and hundreds of young men and women who have grown and gone on to start ministries. We look back and say, who can despise days of small beginnings? God is good. Now, I want to share with you a few things that I learned from this portion. It's interesting because always we look at verse 10. But looking at the context actually helps us a lot. The first statement I have for us is this: all great things start small, or they begin small. The people that we see today who are big or with big names, including companies, including amazing sportsmen, and including great churches, and including great ministers and ministries. They all have a place they began. So we need to realize that it is in those beginnings that shape great people. So if you've not learned your lesson at the beginning, many times you're going to have a hard time when greatness comes your way. And many people cannot survive when greatness comes if they've not learned at the beginning when no one knows you. We all know about this man called David. And we remember him mainly because of his Goliath attack or Goliath fight. But we forget that this young man was shaped in the bushes, running around sheep and fighting with bears and lions. Those were unknown years, but the unknown years prepared him for the years when we got to know him. We all know about this man called Paul. We love Paul, don't we? But we forget that that man had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. We remember that this young man was persecuted and he was so frustrated, he ended up running back to his hometown of Tarsus and was just lost for some time if it wasn't for Barnabas who actually picked him up. So many of us start in difficult ways, but you know what? God is preparing us for the great things that he wants to do. So verse 10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So see, God is interested to see that plumb line, but he says, don't despise those days. So what does that mean? Do not look down on humble beginnings. Do not underestimate that person who is beginning, because you never know where God is going to take them. So we all need to start. And don't fear to start small. Do not. But also, when you're there in those small beginnings, learn whatever you can. I believe that character is formed during that time. Life skills are formed. Stamina is formed. This is where we get to know God intimately. Before anyone knows us, the Lord knows us. So it's better for us to seek after him and find him during those times. This is where God brings people that I call destiny helpers. This is where Paul or Saul finds a Barnabas who is going to get hold of his hand to help him find his way out. Do not despise days of small beginnings. Now, there is verse 7, which is quite interesting. It says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become plain. So this is a message to us who are beginning. This is a message to us who are laboring in small places. This is a message to all of us. It's a message to tell us that yes, there's going to be big mountains, impossible situations, things that are so hard to comprehend, and you don't know where you go and what you're going to do. Who are you, great mountain? Nothing. The other translation says this, nothing, not even a mighty mountain will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become level, plain before him. Wow. The interesting lesson I learned from this is that God has never called us to small things. He calls us for big things. Why? Because he is God. The great missionary William Carey said this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Last night I was so blessed to see young people. They hosted us. They did an amazing job here. We are so proud of you, young people. But when I look at you, I see potential. You are the future that we have. You are the hope of this church. You are the hope of this nation. And I want you to know that God has called you to scale some mountains. God has called you for great exploits. God has called you to attempt big things for him. But you need to know this. It is God who is going to enable you to do that. So that's why God was telling Zerubbabel, you're going to actually build this temple. It's a big task. It's a huge task. It's a mountain when you look at it. But you know what? I am bigger than the mountain, says the Lord. When I think about mountains, I think about three things, men and women of God this morning. I think about national mountains. But I also think about local mountains. And I also think about individual mountains. When I look at this church, for example, I see a church situated or located in the center of this amazing country called Canada. I see a church that God has raised at a time like this, where liberalism is rising up, where the things that we used to value, where the Bible that we used to hold strong. Today, the mainline denominations have decided to put this aside and get other things that are not right. Where the national leadership and parliament and others have started to raise values that we all know those are not the values written in this word. So the reason why God has put you here is that you will scale the mountain that is here in this land of Canada. It's a national call. It's a national call. It is a national call. That is a big mountain. But I also look at another mountain. It's a local mountain. It's the city of Regina. It's the province where you are located. God has put you here. You are a church that is vibrant. There's life here. But you are in the midst of a place of famine where people are looking for fresh water. They can't get it. You have a mission in this city. It's a mountain. It's big. Sometimes it looks bigger than you. You have a city, you have a nation, you have a network of churches, you are a parent church, and everyone is looking on you as Harvest City Church. But I also look at another mountain. It's the individual mountain. It's the mountain that we have actually been listening to all the stories of your missionaries. For Zerubbabel, it is building the temple. For Moses, it was to take God's people out of the land of slavery to the land of promise. To Moses, that was this mountain. To Caleb, at 85, was Joshua, give me this mountain. I still am able to do it, even at 85. To Elijah, it was to show that nation, to show Ahab that God is still God. Amen. And for Mary, her mountain was to give to us, to be the vehicle to bring the Savior onto the earth. You also have an individual mountain. Every one of us has a calling. Now, not all of us are going to be preachers like Pastor Joe, but all of us have a calling. May you find that calling. It will look bigger than you. It will seem impossible to you. But when you look at it and face it, say, who are you, mighty mountain, before the God that I serve? But I want to give you this statement first. If you are going to scale a mountain, it takes that first step. And most people, that's where they fail. They look at it, they get so frightened, they say, I am not going to go there. This is not me. I am not. I remember the first time I went to Gabba. I was not yet married at the time. My buddies, my friends from the church where I came from a city church, big church. It was the biggest church in the city. And so they came to visit me and they looked around. And they said, Peter, why are you here? Why did you leave the beautiful part of the city? You actually had a place in the church. Why are you here? You're going to have people who look at your mountain and they're going to start discouraging you. But I want you to know this. God is on your side. God is on your side. You will scale that mountain. Praise be to God. We can do it to the glory of God. Verse 6, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to you, Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the top stone amidst shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. Now, the other translation says this, NLT, which is most of what your other translations will say. It says this in verse 7. This is what the other one says. Nothing, not even the mountain, shall stand before it. Will become level. And when the Zerubbabel sets the final stone, the people will shout, may God bless it. May God bless it. So other translation give it differently. But there's something I would like you to pick from this story here. Whenever God calls us to places, we tend to think that it is ourselves who are going to do it. We look at our gifting and we look down on ourselves because you say, I am not gifted enough. For me, I looked for connections, I had none. You look at yourself and say, I don't have the training, I don't have the experience that I have. And I believe that's how Zerubbabel was. But God says, no, I have called you to scale the mountain. But don't you worry, because it is not your problem. It is my problem. It is not your mission. It is my mission. And you remember what the Bible says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that I am building. It is not your church. It is his church. It is not your work. It is his work. It is not your power. It is his power. And when you get to understand that, you start relaxing. You are in for a great ride because the master is in charge. So that brings relief to you. And you realize it is not my thing. You realize it's not my power. It's got to be his power. His spirit is available. His spirit is available. His power is available. He's available. He's available. I always equip young ministers at home. And I tell them, you know what? When it comes to make the altar call, just call the people. And they say, Pastor, what if they don't come? I say, man, you're not the savior. Just call them. If they don't come, it is him. If they come, it is him. Not by might, not by power. It is by his spirit. Glory be to God. I used to fear laying hands on people. I said, what if they don't get healed? And then the Lord started reminding me, if it is you healing, you get worried. But if it's me, it is my business. Oh, how I wish that God will just enable us to realize that the work he has called us to do is not our work. It is his work. We will relax, but also we'll be more dependent on him. That's why I like the verse of scripture that we're given. Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. He will establish your plan. So what does that mean? Bath your ministry in prayer. Bath your business in prayer. Just pray, and after that, stand up and go and act on what God is calling you. Prayer will help you discern God's will in the next steps. Because what I realize, in this congregation, we have the young people, but also we have the older people like me. For the young, you are starting out. For the old, is like, what is the next step, Lord? I have done this mountain. What is the next one? So pray, pray. God, guide me, lead me, help me, because I need the help of your spirit. But I also love that part. He said, it is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Grace means the unmerited favor of God. Meaning that it's not what I do that brings the results. It's what he does through me. Don't you like that? It is by grace and grace alone. The final statement here is, our action will please the Lord. Our action will please the Lord. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. All right? So usually we focus on the despising. We forget that he says, no, actually the Lord rejoices in what you do, even if it is small. The Christian faith is an active faith. Many people fear to take the first step because they fear to fail. But remember, it's not you. Others do not take that step because they are waiting for the big project. I'm waiting for the big thing. I'm waiting for big anointing. I'm waiting for this. Don't wait. Take that first step. Take that first step. Take that first step. What I found, that first step is what we call action. God loves action. Why should we take action, men and women of God? Because if we do not, who is going to do that task? It's your responsibility. If we do not, who will do it? I saw that during COVID, my friends. We were locked down. We're not allowed to move. We're not allowed to walk. It was strange. They said, you can't even drive. And then I was home and I was imagining. I said, okay, what's happening to all these kids that we take care of? What is going on? People are starving. So I said, let me walk out and see what's going on. And as I walked, I started getting a feeling. And then as I walked, I said, no, we need to do something. People are starving. I remember getting that little phone, iPhone, and recorded a message. I said, guys, we need prayer. This is what is going on. And from that one step, people responded, including Harvest City. They said, no, we need to help you. We need to help you. At the end of the lockdown, the first lockdown, we had raised enough money. We fed 250,000 people. Yes. And thousands of them, we actually did it every month for about 5 months. We had to take that step, and God did amazing things. So friends, there's a great need out there, and the Lord is looking for you to stand up and act on it. So friends, it is time to begin. Hallelujah. It is time to begin. It is time to begin. And for me, that beginning happened in 1988 when I was confused. I didn't know what to do. I was at a crossroad, and the Lord convicted me to go out and wait on Him. And I waited on Him. It was a month, and during that season is when I heard that voice where God said, Peter, I want you to go to that little village called Gaba. So my prayer for you as we finish this service today is that if you've never had an encounter with God, it starts with Jesus becoming the Lord and the Master of your life. If you've never had that encounter, I pray that you say, Lord, become the Lord and the Master of my life. But many of us are saved. We love Jesus already. But I want to say this. Have you ever reached a time in your life where you say, God, I want to know what you want me to do for you? May God bless you as you rise up in Jesus' name.
I don't want you to sit down without praying for us.
Paul said, I long to visit you so I can impart some spiritual gifts to you. I feel like you are like a spiritual father to me, and I feel what God has done in your life, you have something to impart to us. And so I know that God is stirring in your hearts, and I just want to tell you this morning, if you feel like God is provoking you to begin something, why don't you stand to your feet right now, and Peter, I want you to just pray for us. I'm standing right here beside you, but I want you to just pray an impartation of faith, boldness, whatever the Lord leads on you to pray. But I believe that God's going to use you this morning to put something inside of us.
Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we just start praying in the Spirit for a moment? Pray in the Spirit in the moment. Please. I would like to pray three prayers. And the first one, I'd like to pray for young men and women, boys and girls. Most of you, you are in your teenage, the 20s, early 30s. You don't know. Maybe some of you are in college and you say, God, what is it in for me? What do you want to do in my life? Can you, if you are young in that age group, can you just raise up your hand right now? So let the young people, young men and women, boys and girls, you are starting out in life. You may be married, you may not be married. Just stand up. Just put up the hand. Hallelujah. Those who are near them, can you just put your hand on them and let us release a prayer unto them. Let us pray that God will put a fire, a passion for him in their lives. Let us pray that God will open their eyes to the things that he wants them to do. Let us pray that God will take away the fear to begin, the fear to go, the fear to say, here I am, send him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we raise our young people to you, God, boys and girls, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord God, you will pour your spirit upon them in a very special way, oh God. I pray, Father, that you put a fire for God in their hearts, oh God. I pray, Father, that, Lord God, there will be a spirit of a passion for God, oh Lord. A passion to see God exalted in their life, oh God. I pray, Father, that you minister to them. I pray that you minister to them. I pray that you minister to them. I pray that you minister. I pray for fire. I pray for vision. I pray for passion. I pray for an anointing upon them. May God do that in your life. May God raise a passion in your life. May God raise courage in your life. May God do it. May you do it, Lord, I pray. May you do it, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The next group I pray for is where many of us are. You probably have been serving for a very long time. And some of you are saying, what is next? And this is not just inside the church, but maybe in the marketplace. Lord, what do you want me to do next? How can I be more effective in what I'm doing? More impact. How can my life count? So if you're in that category, which is many of us, can we put up our hands right now? Jesus, we are putting up our hands. Shila baba karaba purebo katurubo koriba kasa karaba baba baba. Roma sakaraba baba baba. Some of us it is transition. Lord, what next? Yes, lubaba sakaraba baba baba. Some of us, God is calling us to do more in the church. Rubaba sekerebo baba baba. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. You see our hands, oh God. We are saying, let your will be done in our lives, oh God. Some of us are faced with challenges and we say, how can I go? How can I do this? Lord, I pray that God, you put a new desire for you, God. Lord, I pray that you open our ears that we hear. I feel that some of you have actually had prophetic words and you're waiting for the prophetic word, but God is saying, I'm waiting on you to walk into that prophetic word. Lord, I pray that God will start walking in it. We walk in it, Lord. We start moving in the direction you're calling us. Lord, I speak life, oh God. I speak action in the name of Jesus. I speak a release of activity, oh God. Jesus, I pray that you do it in Jesus' name. And the final prayer I would like us to pray for, Pastor John. Hallelujah. I just feel that, Pastor John, your calling is not just this city. Your calling is not Africa only. Your calling is also for this North America. You have a message. You have a message for this land. Hallelujah. But that's a calling to your church too. Because God has put this man to lead. Can we raise a hand towards this servant of God in the name of Jesus? Shila baba bakara baburi boka sakara baba baba baba. Ndere bodi boka turuba kaka kako kororobo bobo bobo bororobo koka kaka rara baba baba baba. Sele bobo bari boka turuba kororobo bobo 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 kaka 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 rara baba baba.
mereke tiribi yororobo baba kaka kaka rada baba baba baseke ndiribi yororobo bobo 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 so kaka kaka kara baba baba. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this man that you've called in this house. We lift up this man that you've called in this house, oh God. The Lord God, you will move, oh God. Lord, I pray for courage. Lord, I pray for open doors, oh God. Lord, I pray that this voice that you've raised in this city, the Lord, it will be a voice that will cover this country, that will cover this North America, God. I pray that the fire that you put in his heart, oh God, Father, the Lord, you will use it, oh God, to bring life in this land, to bring life in this continent, even as you sent him to the nations, oh God. May this church rise up to walk with this man to the glory of God. So we pray for you, man of God. Will you stand? Will courage continue? You already have it, but will courage continue? So we speak boldness. We speak fearlessness. We speak open doors. We speak a future in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
All right, do you want to know what the total is? I do too. They haven't told me what the total is. Apparently it's going to be revealed on the screen after we have a drum roll. Can we have a drum roll, please?
Wow. Wow.
We haven't counted an offering for a long time, right? Are we sure they know how to do this? Janelle, I just want to rebuke you for your little faith. $250,000? Come on. Thank you, Lord. New beginnings, church. Greater days. Father, we thank you for the generosity of your people. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit, because people aren't just this generous without the moving of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you're provoking us. I thank you that you're speaking. God, I thank you that you're stirring. These are new days. These are new beginnings. These are rebirthing times, oh God. These are resurrection times, O Lord. And Father, I thank you that even though we've been in a season of holding, it's now a season of sowing. It's a season of harvest. It's a season of reaping. It's a season of sowing. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that what you started this weekend would grow into a mighty river, Lord. Lord, the flames of revival would go out of this house as never before in Jesus' name. There would be an activation of the people of God as we've never seen before. God, that we would see new miracles, new lands taken, new amounts of generosity, missions and ministries and miracles birthed out of this house in ways we've never seen it before. God, I believe you're saying that to us today. You're showing us today that you're still with us, that your plans for us haven't changed, that you have a hope and you have a future for this house, oh God. And we worship you, and we thank you, and we bless your name, oh God. You're an awesome God. We worship you.
God of abundantly, God of abundantly.
We're going to sing one more song as we leave this morning. We are going to have to stack some chairs. If I was a good pastor, Jenny and Janelle, I'd have flowers and all that sort of stuff for you. I'm not good at remembering those things. But I want to tell you, you guys have done an awesome job.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of both of you. My mom built a foundation. You're going to build on it. You got the heart. It's awesome. Really proud of you.
God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable, all things are possible.
Come on, God of exceedingly, sing it out.
God of exceedingly.
Woo!
Think it's over, but I feel like the party's just getting started in the kingdom of heaven.